I have a question for us today. Why do we celebrate the days of unleavened bread? You know, growing up in the church, I remember hearing this question asked at the beginning of a lot of the Holy Day messages. Why are we here? The speaker would ask. And what lessons are we to learn from keeping this day holy? How does the meaning of the current festival fit into God's plan of salvation for us and for all of mankind? And I think these are good questions to ask. The holy days are annual events that reveal to us God's great plan for humanity. Each one represents a vital step in a plan that was carefully thought out and has been implemented from the very beginning. It is important that we properly observe each of these important days to ensure that we never forget the great purpose and plan God is working towards and will accomplish. The holy days are also provided for our spiritual development. Each holy day brings special meaning with lessons that we are to learn to further our development as the first fruits of the family of God. I'd like to use the time we have this afternoon to review why we are here. In my notes, I put a title, Why do we celebrate the days of unleavened bread? If you like a title. So why are we here? Why are we celebrating these days of unleavened bread in 2024? Well, a good place to start, I think, is Leviticus 23. We will see in these familiar scriptures that one of the reasons that we are here is to be obedient to God's instructions. Leviticus 23 and verse 2. It says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." Notice that the days to be mentioned in the next few passages are days that shall be proclaimed holy. They have been set apart as holy time, and it is important to note that these holy times do not belong to us. It says, these are my feasts. These are feasts of the Lord. Verse 3 covers the weekly Sabbath, day of rest, a day set aside each week for a holy convocation or assembly. This is a day of worship and a day of reflection on God, our elder brother Jesus Christ, this marvelous creation and its purpose. It's a day to focus and reflect on God's way of life, how we are measuring up. It's also a day to give thanks. Continuing in Leviticus 23 and verse 4, it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times." God has given you and I a list of appointments that are required to be kept. It is God's time, and we are to be respectful of it. In verse 5, we are commanded to keep the Passover. If you are a baptized member of the body of Christ, you kept the Passover this past Sunday evening. At the Passover service, you and I were reminded of Christ's sacrifice and all that he endured for us and because of us. Passover is the most solemn night of the year, and as we were reminded, should not be taken lightly and should not be taken without due respect and extensive preparation. The days of unleavened bread are considered part of the Passover season. Our participation, or preparation rather, for the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, they really go hand in hand. It says in Leviticus 23 and verse 6, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On this first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." We don't typically have a church service on a Tuesday afternoon, but today is a special high day, a special Sabbath, and we are instructed to be here and have this assembly. We are assembled to celebrate the first day of unleavened bread on this 15th day of the month according to God's sacred calendar. Verse 8 continues, "But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The 7th day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." So God instructs us to keep the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. and to have a holy convocation on the first day and on the seventh, and we are to offer an offering, which we just did. In the days and weeks leading up to the days of unleavened bread, we were given instructions to remove all forms of leavening from our homes. Again, one of the reasons we celebrate the days of unleavened bread is out of obedience to God's instructions. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 12. We will see here again the command to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we are provided with details regarding the observance and specific instructions that should be followed. We will see a lot of repetition in the verses that we will read today, but I think it is important to cover them to get a full understanding of why we celebrate these days. I think that whenever God inspires writers to repeat something multiple times in His inspired word, we should realize the importance that God has placed on the subject. Also, even though it sounds like we're reading the exact same words, there's little pieces added to it that are a little bit that bring a little more to the meaning of the verse. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, "So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your homes. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance." Verse 18 continues, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats that is what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native in the land. You shall eat nothing leavening. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread." Just get the sense that God really wants that to be clear to us. We see that we are to remove leavening from our homes throughout all our generations, and we see that this is an everlasting ordinance. This instruction to remove leavening in preparation for the days of unleavened bread is reiterated in the next chapter as well, Exodus chapter 13. Again, I find it interesting that this requirement to remove leavening and to eat unleavened bread is mentioned several times, including several times within the same chapter and book. Again, I think that's an indication of its importance. Each account, though, again, adds some details that build upon each other. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month." Verse 6 continues, "7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days, and no unleavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters." Kind of some more detail there a little bit. How important is it to God that we get this? That we take it seriously and that we make it a special focus during these special feast days. If repetition serves as an indication of its importance to God, then it is crystal clear that keeping this ordinance at the appointed time and as instructed is of the utmost importance. Again, one of the reasons that we are here celebrating the days of unleavened bread is to be obedient to God's instructions. You know, it's interesting what we can learn from removing leavening and keeping it out for 7 days. Everything God does, He does for a purpose and ultimately is done to further His purpose and plan for us. There are always important lessons to be learned from God's instructions, and our spiritual development is dependent on learning those lessons that God has for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll turn there, another familiar set of verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Verse 17 adds, "that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." You could substitute the word mature for the word complete that is mentioned in this verse. We might could phrase verse 17 like this: "that the man of God may be mature, spiritually mature, and thoroughly equipped for his role in the kingdom of God." Again, there is always a purpose behind the instruction that we are given in God's word. Even the physical instructions that we are to follow, as we have been reading in these scriptures again inspired by God, are by design intended to lead us to His righteousness. So another reason for why we celebrate the days of leavened bread is to gain this instruction in righteousness. I've mentioned in the past that the Israelites understood the physical requirements for keeping the days of unleavened bread. Many Jews today continue the tradition of their forefathers by removing leavening from their homes during these days. Unfortunately, like so many of the teachings that the Jewish Israelites were to safeguard, they added their own law and their own traditions to it. Their traditions were put on par with Scripture and limited their ability to understand anything past the physical. This is contrary to what we see in the instructions that we are given in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. Deuteronomy 12 verse 32 says, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it." The Israelites of old and many that keep the festivals today lack this understanding. They keep the physical application, but do not recognize that God's way of life is spiritual. His laws are to be spiritually discerned. They do not get that the instruction in righteousness that is intended and the spiritual development that should come with it. This is especially evident when they add requirements that are not given and really are not helpful to spiritual growth. I mentioned in a message last year before how the Jewish law provides for the physical requirement to get the leavening out. In Jewish law, there are traditionally three approved methods of removing chametz, spelled C-H-A-M-E-T-Z, the Hebrew word for leaven or leavening. One process involves burning the leavening, and the other involves nullifying any leavening that has remained after the ritual cleaning. Under this method, you are no longer the owner of any leavening that was missed if you carefully adhere to the timetable and recite the appropriate chants. You have nullified ownership of those items. The third approved method is to gather the leavening together and sell it to a non-Jewish person. By doing so, you are transferring its ownership. It is allowed in this tradition, and the custom of some still today, to purchase these items back after the festival if the previous owner is willing to do so. Some years ago, Angie had some unopened leavening items that we were not going to be able to use before the start of the Days of Unleavened Bread, and she gave them to our next door neighbor. Sometimes we do that. Perhaps you do that as well. Our neighbor took the items but didn't really understand the concept. She offered to pay for the items or hold them in safekeeping until a time that these products would once again be welcome in our home. I can imagine the conversation they had at the dinner table that night. "Why are they giving us this sack of flour?" I'm not sure what it was exactly, but something like that. I think we did a better job this year. When I say we, I mean Angie did a better job this year of not having as many things to have to throw away or give away. But as New Testament Christians, you and I must understand and apply the spiritual meaning to the activity of deleavening. The Apostle Paul compared leavening to malice and wickedness while providing training to the brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he encouraged the church members in Corinth to use the training of deleavening their homes to spiritually deleavening their lives. He wanted them to understand and apply the spiritual intent. Paul was equipping the brethren with training in righteousness. Let's see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Your glorifying is not good. Did you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul encourages the New Testament church to keep the feast and to learn the lessons from the physical requirements that lead to their spiritual development. He was showing them that leavening, or leaven, was representative of sin, and that they should apply the spiritual intent of deleavening to their spiritual lives by removing malice and wickedness. How do we remove malice and wickedness, pictured here as all forms of sin? We find part of that answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, where we are given the instruction to examine ourselves. That's a verse that has been mentioned several times in the weeks leading up to these days of leavened bread. But 1 Corinthians 11 and 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Prior to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, Mr. Willoughby and others have mentioned to us and encouraged us to search the scriptures and see where we've fallen short. For any sin that was found, we were admonished to take ownership of it. Quite different from the traditions of some men. We were not given the option to give it away or sell it to someone else for safekeeping with the hope of being reunited with it later. We had to remove it and seek God's mercy and forgiveness. This is essentially what the days of unleavened bread are all about, striving to live God's way and keep far away from sin. The Passover and days of unleavened bread are annual reminders, and they are a springboard for the rest of the year. At baptism, we entered a contract, an agreement made with God, an agreement that had terms and conditions. For the baptized members of the church, we renewed our commitment to that contract as we observe the Passover on Sunday night. The Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread serve as a reminder of the promises that we made to God and the promises that God made to us. These days are to be an encouragement for us to live up to our contractual obligations. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." As we remove sin from our lives and strive to keep it out, we become more like our Father in heaven and our elder brother Jesus Christ. As you know from your preparations leading up to these days of unleavened bread, removing leavening from your life is not easy. Crumbs are excellent at hide and seek. They are patient. They will quietly hide out and they'll wait. They will not advertise their hiding spots. They will not alert you of their presence. They will not go quietly if they are found. And if found, they might not easily want to leave. I don't know if you've ever dug around in the bottom of a seat of a car and found a cracker, and or a piece of a cracker. You grab it, and it just incinerates in your hands. Now you've got a bigger problem, right? It's all over the place. Physical leavening, it's hard to spot. Sometimes, just when you think you found it all and removed it, it turns up in a freezer, a snack bar in the car, or some other food product that you have kept close by in your life. A product that would have no use for leavening in it, but turns out to contain some form of leavening all along. I don't know if you've ever had something like that. I think we have. A product that would, again, have no leavening need in it at all, sometimes is hidden in a product that we just hadn't checked before. Same is true for spiritual leavening. Sometimes spiritual leavening disguises itself as a trusted go-to and useful thing, and therefore hard to spot. Perhaps it's a justifiable attitude that is at the ready, just in case it's needed. Anger, pride, criticism, or putting down of others, for example, might be hard to spot as a spiritual weakness or sin if we think we are justified in its eventual use. There are a lot of spiritual breadcrumbs to know about and to know that they hide. They hide from us, just like the physical leavening. The extensive spiritual cleaning that we are to do, along with the physical cleaning, puts us in a position to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So this training in righteousness is needed for our spiritual development, and it is an important reason for why we celebrate the Days of Unleavened Bread. Another reason why we celebrate the Days of Unleavened Bread is to rejoice and give thanks. During these days, we aren't really looking for how well we've done. We spend more time looking for ways that we need to improve, and rightly so. But we should be careful to not get down on what we see and what we find and how we've fallen short. It's an opportunity. In fact, we should do the opposite. We should rejoice and give God much thanks for bringing us closer to Him, to His form, and to His image. The Days of Unleavened Bread remind us of where we came from and where we are going. It is humbling to consider what our Father in Heaven and our elder brother Jesus Christ have done for us and the promises that are yet to come. We find in Genesis 1 that God created us in His image, and He gave us dominion over the earth and all things in it. Since our creation, we have been provided all that we've needed to sustain life. Our creation was not a random act. Through Jesus Christ, God created each of us for the purpose of conforming to His image. God is spirit. His plan for us from the very beginning is to become like Him in every way. Each of us are predestined to become part of the family of God. We are products of what God is producing, and our loving Father has a great inheritance plan for us. That's one of the great things about having an opportunity to reconcile to God, is that we see mistakes that we've made, we see where sin has entered our lives, and the upside of that is we get rid of it. It's in our past. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren." Do we rejoice and give continual thanks to God for calling us to become the firstborn of many brethren? Do we rejoice and give thanks to God for Jesus Christ, our Passover, who died for us, making our future possible? The Days of Unleavened Bread begin with rejoicing and thanksgiving to God for deliverance from the world and from sin. In response to the instructions that we find in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 42, each of us gathered in large or small groups to rejoice and celebrate the night to be much observed. Hope you guys had a fantastic evening. We certainly did. But this night began the Days of Unleavened Bread with rejoicing and thanksgiving to commemorate, to remember the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. And for the New Testament church, our exodus from the spiritual captivity of this world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, short verses. I'll just quote them real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We among all people should be filled with rejoicing and thanksgiving, especially with the knowledge of God's great plan for us that is actually revealed through these holy days that we keep. The days of unleavened bread are a blessing and is designed to ensure we stay on the path that God has called us to. It is a special time to make course corrections where needed, but also a time to be thankful and rejoice, knowing that God is continuing the work that He began in each one of us. How refreshing is it to get the opportunity to renew our commitment to God and to have the blessing to get a fresh start every year. As we celebrate this week of unleavened bread, I hope we will consider some of the spiritual accomplishments that we were able to make in the previous year. I would encourage us to take some time and recognize the good work that God has done in each of us. And I hope we take the time to thank Him for it. Giving thanks and rejoicing really should be one of the reasons why we celebrate the days of unleavened bread. One other reason that we celebrate the days of unleavened bread is that the festival sets the stage for finishing our race. Continually putting sin out of our lives and replacing those thoughts, behaviors, and actions with God's love, His mercy, and His will is a lifelong process, and we should be seeing spiritual growth in our lives from one year to the next. We keep the days of unleavened bread each year to get our spiritual houses in order and correct any behaviors that are not consistent with God's ways. What a great opportunity we are given to get back on track. As mentioned, what a great reason to rejoice and to give thanks. The expectation that God has for us and that we should have for ourselves, of course, is to stay on track until our race is won. Our Heavenly Father and our Elder Brother Jesus Christ are the standard that we must be continually striving to achieve. They are the path that we are to follow, the pattern that should be striving to create, that we should be striving to create in our lives. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, it says, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." The word "be" can be translated to be or become, indicating a process. A process that comes together over time. The term "perfect" comes from the Greek word teleos, which means to be complete or spiritually mature. The Adam Clark commentary in reference to this verse says that, quote, "A Christian or Christ's disciples must resemble their Heavenly Father." Simply put, the changes that we have made leading up to these days of unleavened bread and the positive changes that we will make during the next 7 days are to help us become complete and spiritually mature. You and I are to resemble our Heavenly Father. We are to become perfect, just like God in Jesus Christ. We are to conform to their image. God expects us to use the spiritual gains that we have made and to carry it forward and build on it in the days, weeks, and months ahead. We are here on this first day of unleavened bread. In 7 short days at sunset, this holiday festival will officially end. But our journey towards spiritual perfection will not end. We must continue to look forward and press forward to our goal. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Verse 14 says, "I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are to forget those things which are behind and again look forward, reach forward to the goal. We are to press forward. Again, this race that we're in, it's not done. We must take, though, full advantage of the days of unleavened bread and regroup, refresh, recommit to press towards the prize. What prize are we striving for? Well, our prize is the kingdom of God and membership in the very God family. That's pretty incredible. So again, one of the reasons of why we celebrate the days of unleavened bread is to set the stage for finishing our race. The 2024 days of unleavened bread have begun. What can we do to ensure that we build on the spiritual momentum that we have gained from it? From the preparation, from getting us to the Passover, the night to be much observed, and now the days of unleavened bread. I'd like to take the next few minutes and just offer four things we can do that will help us to keep the spiritual momentum going during these feast days and beyond. First, let's set some spiritual goals. As previously stated, the spring holy days are a time to renew our commitment to God. A time to renew our contractual commitment that we made with God, and a time to get a fresh start and a new year of living God's way with purpose and conviction. If consistent prayer and Bible study was a problem in the past year for you, we can resolve that by setting aside, purposefully, time to fulfill this important need. I think most of us, from time to time, struggle a little bit with quality prayer time, Bible study, meditation, and fasting. I think that can always be improved. But that's a goal you can have. That's a goal I can have. Make a personal list of areas of your spiritual life that you would like to see improvements in, and create an action plan to work on those areas throughout the coming year. Well, like a lot of times, most of the time when we study the Bible, we study it by topic. Perhaps there's a topic that comes to mind. Perhaps we're led to a topic through God's Holy Spirit, a topic we need to research. But you know, one goal might be, if you've never read the entire Bible through in a year, maybe that's a goal you could do on the side. Whatever spiritual goals you set for yourself, ask God to help you see them and gain what is needed from them. So let's set some spiritual goals for the coming week, and the coming year, and beyond. Second, let's eat the spiritual bread. Let's eat the spiritual bread. During the Passover service, we heard the instruction to continuously feed on the bread of life. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We talked earlier about being conformed to the image of God in every way. Deuteronomy chapter 10 tells us to conform to the image of God. Let's take a look at that in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, it says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you, for your good. It's interesting that it adds for your good. Sometimes we are around people that consider God's commandments to be burdensome, to be a problem, to be something that holds them back, but in actuality, they're for our good, for our development spiritually. How do we obtain this bread of life that we are to take in? Well, we need to ask for it daily. We need to put God first in every way. We need to keep true to our commitment to Him. We need to keep the commandments and statutes and diligently follow God's instructions in every way. This requirement requires us to know what those instructions are and how to apply them. Let's Turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Quick verse here. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." God's words are life. I remember when Mr. Winter was here, he used to often say and encourage us to get to know your Bible. Those words are of God and from God, and he would encourage us to take them in continuously. We are to be consumed by them, and let Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, live in you and me, and feed on it daily. So let's eat lots of spiritual bread over the coming week and beyond. Third point is to guard your minds. Guard your minds. We have worked diligently over the past several weeks to get physical leavening out of our homes and spiritual leavening, or sin, out of our life. We get to practice this all week long. We get to practice keeping it out. Psalm 39 and verse 1 says, "I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me." All sin should be checked at the door. It cannot be allowed in our thoughts. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, we are told to guard against sinful behaviors. Colossians 3 verse 8 says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and bad language could be some of those spiritual breadcrumbs that have disguised themselves as justifiable attitudes that remain close and useful in certain situations. But they should not be. Some synonyms for anger include annoyance, crossness, irritation, indignation, resentment, rage, fury, and outrage. Wrath is also included in that list. Some synonyms for malice include spitefulness, hostility, ill will, ill feelings, hatred, bitterness, and vindictiveness. Some synonyms for blasphemy include profanity, cursing, bad language, irrelevance, and heresy. As we eat our unleavened bread this week, we will be on the lookout for products to avoid. Products with some type of leavening agent in them, and we need to even be more diligent to avoid spiritual leavening. So let's guard our minds so that we do not give sin an opportunity to come in, to take root, and to develop in us during this festival and beyond. My fourth point is to teach it to your children. Teaching our children the ways of God is a responsibility that every parent has, and it is good for the whole family, and it's good for the whole church. Familiar scripture in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I appreciate in that passage, it says, "When he is old, he will not depart from it." Regardless of their age, some children are just not old enough, but they will be. They'll come around. They'll come around in God's time. But training up children in the way we should go, of course, starts in the home. It is amazing the peace, harmony, and rest you can have if you follow the principles given in God's Word. When our kids were small, we would try to make it a point to go over why we were going to a special service on a holy day. A lot of times during the middle of the week. We did this with each holy day, and in the discussion, we talked about the other holy days and the relationship each had in God's plan. I'm sure that many of you or all of you may do the same. But it's a good memory work for them. It kind of keeps us on our toes as well. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 13 and read a scripture, verse 8. Exodus 13 and verse 8. We skipped this verse early because I wanted to use it to make this point. Exodus 13 verse 8 says, "And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. In our explanation, we need to explain in terms that they can understand how this is applicable to us and to them today. We have a responsibility to explain the process and meaning of the Sabbath, the Passover, the night to be much observed, the days of unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and of course the Last Great Day. The Bible is full of principles that need to be taught to our children, and we should take every opportunity to do so. As stated, this is primarily the responsibility, of course, of parents, but we all have roles to play. Our example to the little ones is a responsibility that we all share. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." Skipping down to verse 7, it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." I think there's a lot to that verse. We are to speak of these things. Let that be in our speech, in our conversation. But I think a lot of that comes down to the example that we are providing, even when we're not talking. In everything we do, our little people are looking at us. They're learning from us, even when we're not speaking. Our example is very important. So let's teach these things to our children this week, during this festival and beyond. Leavening is used in the Bible as a representative of sin. We were given the task of removing the physical leavening from our homes and spiritual leavening from our lives. The removal of physical leavening is a tool to help us to see and remove sin from our lives, and is very much a part of our spiritual development. God wants us to remove any leavening that can be found, both physically for 7 days and spiritually for all eternity. God wants us to eat unleavened bread, both physically for 7 days and spiritually for all eternity. Physical bread is temporary, and we all know it has a shelf life. Spiritual bread lasts forever. It lasts for all eternity. We have a temporary existence in terms of our physical life, and God is using physical things to help us prepare for and develop spiritually for an eternal existence. So why are we here? Why do we celebrate the days of unleavened bread? We are here to be obedient to God's instructions. We are here to further our spiritual development through training and righteousness. We are here to rejoice and give thanks to God, and we are here to set the stage for finishing our race. During the next 7 days, let's set some spiritual goals. Let's eat plenty of spiritual bread. Let's guard our minds, and let's teach these things to our children. Let's take full advantage of the next 7 days and remember why we celebrate the days of unleavened bread.